Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the way it feels to move through summer in Lululemon. Iconic align softness without the front seam. For our smoothest look and feel ever, summer won't know what hit it. Stretch your limits in the non-stop flexibility of the new Lululemon Align No Line Pant in select stores and at lululemon.com.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobbe and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration and the author of The Remarkable Effect. I'm creating a tribe of tech entrepreneurs that are on a mission to do something big and meaningful. I invite you to join the tribe as well, especially if you want to create change that matters and put your software business on momentum that you're proud of. The goal that I have with this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. The guest on my podcast this week is Sam Abrika, co-founder and CEO of Cash Coach.
The big idea is nowadays in our economy, you either build debt or wealth. And unfortunately, no education, no university, no one is telling that to people. And it doesn't tell them how to manage their money, how to live their life financially free. And actually, it's even quite the opposite. The whole financial industry and the consumerism machine is trying to push people to consumerism so that they buy stuff they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. We want to reverse that trend. We want people to feel actually rewarded when they have the good behaviors, when they're saving, when they're building their wealth, when they're achieving financial freedom. So the big idea is to make it a game. And we want people to compete against themselves, against their friends, being better at saving.
This is Sam. He's an engineer, contrarian, ex-banker, and now gamifying personal finance. After he achieved his Master's of Science at the Paris Sud University and his MBA, he started his career as a risk and analytics consultant at IBM. Finally, he moved to Mitsubishi UFG Securities, where he designed new liquidity analytics, which allowed to save $1 billion in liquidity. He then co-founded Cash Coach, a company that's on a mission to gamify personal finance and to make the world better at managing money and more fun for the millennial generation. And this inspired me, and hence I invited Sam to my podcast. We explore what is broken in the consumer world when it comes to financial health, and how most consumer technology companies are designing to make this worse and not better. We also dig into why there are no incentives to fix this, and what innovation opportunities that really brings. We also address why having a solution is not enough, and that changing user behavior is possibly the biggest challenge to crack. Lastly, we explore what is required to build a software business that's worth making a remark about. And by listening to this podcast, you will learn four things. Firstly, that a lot of innovation can be found by doing the opposite of what the industry aims to achieve. Secondly, that making black and white choices is key, even if that means that you're going to sidetrack millions and millions of users. Thirdly, why going for some extremely happy users is much more valuable than to have everybody lukewarm. And fourthly, how to uncover opportunities that people don't even know they have a problem around. Hi, Sam. Thank you for being a guest on my podcast today.
Hi, Ton. Thank you for the invitation.
I talked to someone. I started to use a service called lunchclub.ai, which I would recommend to everybody that's listening to the podcast. And that's where I talk to a number of people, and sometimes they recommend people to talk to as well. And this is how this got started. So You know, the network is at the end working at its best from that perspective. So yeah, you're running a company called Cash Coach. And before we start to drill into that, because I like the story around it, but I want to first kind of focus a little bit about who you are. So if you would have to describe yourself as an entrepreneur, what would be the words, the one, two, or three words that you would use?
Good question. I would say I'm a scientific geek and contrarian entrepreneur. And by that, I mean that I try to uncover truths that are counterintuitive, but that are fundamentally truth. And I do that by just talking to people and try to understand what are their problems, what are the things that they want, but they don't even know that they want it.
That's an interesting question. But let's dive deeper into that, because I've got some, I want to hear about that, because that's exactly, yeah, often like how real big things get uncovered. And a lot of people, yeah, have a hard time understanding or doing that. So that's good. Contrarian, I like that. And I can see that from your website. I mean, if people want to see the website, it's definitely not your average thing. So thumbs up for that. It's contrarian and it's thought-provoking.
Thank you. And we're releasing a new version of the website. It will be even more contrarian. I'm sure you will love it.
Well, it goes back to the whole idea of like that you understand that you're not for everybody, that you cannot please everybody. And therefore, you have to make choices. And yeah, sometimes people will love that. Sometimes people don't, but that doesn't matter. As long as the people that are your ideal customer really get that. So good. So we've already kind of pushed up a couple of balls into the air, so to say, to talk about your company, Cash Coach. What's the big idea behind this?
The big idea is nowadays in our economy, you either build debt or wealth. And unfortunately, no education, no university, no one is telling that to people. And it doesn't tell them how to manage their money, how to live their life financially free. And actually, it's even quite the opposite. The whole financial industry and the consumerism machine is trying to push people to consumerism so that they buy stuff they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like.
Yeah, correct.
And we want to reverse that trend. We want people to feel actually rewarded when they have the good behaviors, when they're saving, when they're building their wealth, when they're achieving financial freedom. So the big idea is to make it a game. And we want people to compete against themselves, against their friends, being better at saving. So we created Cash Coach. It's a mobile game. And Cash Coach is the AI character, which is here to give people saving challenges, track their performance, keep them motivated. And people create their in-game avatar, which is linked to their real-life income. We use open banking for that. And the goal of the game is to level up the avatar based on how much they save in real life.
So to become the king at the end. I like the idea. And I mean, I can absolutely see what you're talking about. So many people indeed spend too much money on things they don't need to impress people they don't like. I mean, I love that phrase. And it gets them into all kind of trouble. And I mean, maybe I've been, not that I was spending too much on things I don't need to impress people I don't like, but definitely there's been periods in my life earlier on where I was like, okay, the month is actually too long for my salary. So you want to get out of that. And there's television programs and you see people and you ask yourself, like, how do they come up or end up in a situation like this? But it just goes bit by bit. And I think to also to get out of that misery is also to get out of it step by step. And if technology can help, fantastic. That's what I like. It's really helping people to become better at like what they can be and give them financial freedom. So have you been doing some research about how big this problem is? And I'm not even sure whether you are focused only on the UK market or if it's broader than that.
Yeah, so far we are focused on the UK market. So we have to be very pragmatic. We need to start small. We don't have much money, but it's a huge global problem. There's more than 1 trillion of credit card debt in the world, and it's increasing every year. And not only the credit card debt is increasing, but the university tuition fees are increasing, the medical costs are increasing, the rent, the real estate is increasing. And what happens is the new generation, the millennials who just graduate, they get their first job, they are financially squeezed. They're squeezed because they want more and more. They grew up with in the era of social media where everybody looks like they have such a fancy, expensive lifestyle. Yeah. And they're squeezed because their disposable income is just less and less.
True. Yeah. Yeah, it's a global problem. I mean, sometimes I look at television and you see indeed that what's happening on platforms like Instagram with the photos, trying to pretend who you not are. It's dangerous. But it gets people to all kind of strange ideas. So always interesting, like what sparked this idea? Was there a special moment where it was like, this is the aha, we have to start this? I mean, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Mm-hmm. I was always a gamer at high school, at university. I spent more time playing video games than studying. And then when I started to work, I really wanted to understand what happened in the last financial crisis. Lehman Brothers collapsed and the whole economy collapsed. And since I'm very scientific, I really wanted to understand why does it collapse? Why is it impacting the whole world? Why I wanted to be AI engineer, which has nothing to do with finance, and I can't find a job because the company was investing in 2011 in AI. And so I started to read about it and I couldn't understand it. So I became really obsessed and I started to look at all the banking system, the models that they have to calculate how much capital, how much liquidity they need to keep in order not to collapse and in order to prevent this kind of global financial crisis.
Yeah.
And that led me to work for UBS. I was running the Europe Liquidity and Funding Risk Team. Uh-huh. And then there I was responsible to validate and improve all the models on the $1 trillion balance sheet that is here to tell the bank how much cash do we need to keep in order to prevent the next financial crisis for us, in order to survive. And what I realized is that banks have a lot of analytics, very smart, very advanced, that they use to optimize the way they manage their money.
Yeah.
And there's such a gap in the level of a technology that banks use for their own good, their own optimization, and the technology that is available for common people. It's not that complicated to understand. Banks make more than $40 billion profits on overdraft fees, even more on credit card. So they don't have such financial incentive to give the great technology for people.
True. Yeah.
And when I realized that, I started to have the idea to rebalance the forces between the banks and the people and give that same level of analytics that will help people to make better decisions with their money. So that's how the idea of Cash Coach started. It's here to bridge the gap between the gaming world and the financial world.
Let me make a small interruption here. Sam just highlighted the moment that sparked the big idea behind this company. Not by looking at what his then current employer aimed for, but what their customers were missing out on. Like with so many things, forces are often contradicting. So what's a benefit to one is a negative to the other side. And it is in this gap where he found a valuable and urgent problem to solve, something where he could make a difference. This is a trait remarkable software companies master. They create new value possibilities by connecting the dots, looking for situations that are truly broken, and then focus on the case where they can make an exponential impact. You can master this trait as well, and I'd recommend you to start by reading or listening to my book The Remarkable Effect, in which I reveal a framework of 10 traits that define the software companies we just keep talking about. You can find my book on Amazon.com. And if you are a tech entrepreneur that wants to take direct action, consider joining our tribe. More information on that on valueinspiration.com. Back to the interview. Interesting. You almost would think that there is kind of an opposite or a conflicting incentive, to be really honest, between banks and consumers, because at the end what banks want is to give credit. So they want you to spend more and more. That's how they make their money at the end.
Banks, but not only banks. The whole consumerism machine wants people to be consumer. Yeah. And the problem is nobody teaches to people what it means to be consumer. To be consumer means just to be broke. there are three states in society. People can be consumers, can be savers, or investors. Investors are the one whose wealth is increasing over time. Why? Because all the consumers just spend their money and make the investors richer.
Yeah.
And it's not more complicated than that. It's really that simple. The problem is most people are not aware that it's that simple to understand the difference between people who get richer and people who get poorer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, not everybody can or want to be an investor, but having at least good enough money to live a decent life is what everybody, I think, will aspire to. So interesting. So when did you start developing your solution?
We started the development in January 2019. It was initially very slow. We started with a very modest minimum viable product that we launched with very, very few users. And then every week, we try to improve it, to release a better version, to integrate feedback, to build more game mechanics, to make the app a bit smarter, nicer, prettier. Yeah.
And have you, that's always intriguing me, is like this whole journey of from January 19 until May 2020, when you actually launch the product and make it generally available to the market. So like, what were the, how did you build differentiation? And I'm always interested in defensible differentiation in your product that can't be easily copied. Have you got any concepts in the product where you say, hey, this is like the DNA, this is what really makes it valuable to our customers?
There are two things that CashCoach brings that no other product bring. The first is the intelligence behind all the analysis of the transaction history pattern. CashCoach tries to understand what people do, what kind of person they are, what's their bills, their spending behaviors, etc. And based on this understanding, it will give them saving objectives and spending objectives that are really tailored to them. And we do that because budgeting, although it sounds simple, most people don't like to do it and don't really know how to do it. They kind of do it with their feeling or intuition. So instead, we use AI to give people automatically calculated budgets. And the second thing that it brings is the gamification. Nobody feels excited at the idea to do their budgeting or to track their expenses. So we want to make it fun because we want to our users to feel rewarded when they have good behaviors. And the secret sauce is really in combining both of them. And I try to reimagine what should be the experience of a millennial today who wants to manage its money and try to do budgeting. And instead of having a spreadsheet or using the plus and minus as most finance apps propose, I try to challenge that and do something completely different, just like in video games. And in video games, what people do, they pick a difficulty level depending on the level of challenge they want. And then the game is just progressing and adapting to that difficulty level. And we did the same with CashCoach, which means that when the user signs up and starts the connect the bank account and start the first saving challenge, people just pick a difficulty level, easy, medium, or ambitious. And then it's CashCoach which will calculate all the saving objectives, how much people can afford to spend on the first week, on the second week, and recalculate everything. And people, they just have to act on their behaviors because all the math and all the analytical part is handled by the AI.
Yeah, I can see where this is going. I mean, first of all, I know a couple of people that would love to have such a solution because they're always like I was in the past, and I mean, maybe it's in the family, but the month is longer than the salary goes. And it's typically also that you're completely not interested in spreadsheets and actually doing something about it. But gamification at the end is that's more and more human. And I mean, my podcast is all about, you know, the technology, the value that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And here you got almost your peer that is just tapping you on the shoulder and providing you with advice about what you can do on a day-to-day basis to just get better in a fun way. Because Your target audience, they are millennials, right?
Yes, they are millennials.
Yeah, that requires a completely different approach to things and not the traditional way. So here's where I see where your contrarian angle comes in and do things in a counterintuitive way. Because typically when you think of banking apps or financial apps, it's far away from gamification. It's completely the opposite.
They do it all wrong.
Well, I mean, that's where contrarian comes in, and then you can prove you're right. So what are the reactions from your customers so far?
We have really amazing reactions. We have people, they try Cash Coach and they said, wow, actually, it was eye-opening for me. I really changed my behavior. I started to realize that I was overspending and I was not even aware that I was overspending. I started to take care more about my finances and they feel better. Some people, they like it and they want even more features. They want more gamifications. They want to compete with their friends, etc. So we really have encouraging feedback from our first users.
Yeah. Yeah, you would almost imagine that the moment you get all of that in line again, that the consumption at the end will just increase because at the end there's more room again. But then it's in a healthy way. I like that. And it's motivational for sure when you see, wait a minute, I can do this. And here's the reward for it. And it's something that you can actually see growing day by day. So technology-wise, I mean, one of the people that I always admired is Steve Jobs. And he was always saying that innovation is not about what you say yes to, but what you say no to. Were there any decisions along the way where you said, well, this is a no, and this is going to be of help to achieving our vision?
Yes. Many people asked to set their own budget in Cash Coach. And every time a user requests, hey, is it possible to set my own budget? The answer is always no. It's not the experience we want to create. It's not the direction we want to take. And actually, there are already tons of apps that just are budgeting apps.
It's already counterintuitive. Well, it's again, the counterintuitivity and doing the opposite of what is expected. People expect, okay, I can set a budget and I'm going to stick to it.
But you don't always say yes to everything our users are asking. And sometimes you just need to pick the direction you want to take.
Exactly. Well, typically, I mean, if people are asking, I want to set my own budget, it's like giving you specs. And what we forget to ask is like, why? At the end, of course, they want to set their own budget because they want to achieve that. But that's you achieving it in a different way and likely in a bigger way because of the ambition level. Yeah, that's more rewarding. So I like that. So talking about the kind of launching it, and of course, I realized that it's pretty new still. It's 2 months in the market, May 2020. But what have you learned from launching this? And how have you prepared yourself for creating momentum?
We learned a lot from all the feedback that we received. I think the most striking learning is how much people do not fully understand the credit card that they use and how it affects their finances. And a lot of people, they initially reported bugs because Cash Coach is calculating for them what's their monthly performance, how much wealth they have created for the month. And they thought it was an error. Actually, it was not an error. It's something that we have really tested and being very careful and meticulous about it. And so I had to create a blog post which explains why most people calculate how much they save the wrong way and how to do it the right way. And well, it has got very good feedback and a lot of people very, very eye-opening. And it makes it even more obvious the need for financial education, because nobody is explaining that to people, that if you have transferred £200 on a saving account, it doesn't mean that you have saved £200 for this month. Because what happens is a lot of people, they may transfer £200, but on their credit card, the debt is increasing. On their other account, the balance is decreasing. And yeah, it can really be the case that they have actually overspent that month.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's depending on so many different things. So education, I mean, I hear education a lot, particularly with innovation. The market is not, you know, I think you talked about it in the beginning, that you try to speak to people and try to understand their hidden needs, the things they don't know that they don't know they want yet.
That's the fun part of the entrepreneur journey.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
so can you give me an example of that, your tactics of doing that? Do you ask specific questions? What do you look for?
Tactics. I just try to understand what people are trying to achieve in a very logical way.
Yeah.
And then they will say something. And then I try to look at how they do it. And it's really funny because quite often what they say or what they think they do is very different to what they do or what they want to do. And I always focus on what they're actually doing.
The how part is a very important thing. Often that's what you hear a lot, that your words don't match your actions. Wanting is one thing, but doing is the other thing. So then you realize that their approach to achieve that is wrong. And that's where you start to kind of hone in on a problem, potentially a big problem to solve.
Their approach is wrong, but they don't realize that their approach is wrong. And they're very sincere when they say, oh no, I really need this feature. I really need the app to work in that way. And actually the whole job as an entrepreneur is to understand why do they think they want it that way? Because they don't necessarily know what's technologically possible to do.
True.
And once you understand, okay, that's actually what they wanted to do, but we can find a better solution for that, then it's time to prototype it, test it, and often the solution, the answer is, oh yeah, actually, I quite like it.
Yeah, your customer should talk about their problem, their aspirations, and not about how to solve it. That's the role of the innovator, the tech entrepreneur at the end. I see that happening so often with startups, but also with companies that have been around for a long time, just ending up with specs and just blindly implementing that, which is very often resulting in the wrong thing. So this is your first company?
This is my first company.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I wrote a book and I told you about it before the call. The book is called The Remarkable Effect. And in the book, I reveal the 10 traits that define those companies that we just keep talking about. I already liked how you started, that you're a scientific geek and you're a contrarian. So I'm really interested to what you believe should be are the traits, or is a specific trait that's required in order to become remarkable as a software company? It's a company that people talk about that amazes people.
I think a tech company must understand something counterintuitive, because most obvious businesses, most obvious needs in 2020, they are covered. The world is fairly efficient, fairly liquid. When somebody needs something and they know they wanted it, there's a product for that. So the whole point of creating new technology, new product, is to try to uncover something that people don't know that they want, a problem they are not really aware that they have, and try to find a solution for that.
Yeah.
And it's tough because it's counterintuitive. So most people will tell you, no, you're wrong, you're crazy, it will never work, blah, blah, blah. And that's where it's important to always believe in solving the problem and not just creating a solution.
True. Problem is the magic word. And the funny thing is that so many people don't even realize that there is a problem because they got so used to it. So it's
Dropbox.
It's in the back of your mind, but you just live with it. And I mean, whole companies just go on for years and don't realize the waste, opportunity costs, and so on to address that. So it's keeping your eyes open for that. I mean, one of the chapters in my book is about curiosity, the art of curiosity. And that's a very important skill to have, I think, as an entrepreneur, but as actually as the whole team. The whole team should be responsible for that. But I really like your point about the counterintuitive part, which is about being different, not just better. And that's definitely trait three in my book. And in the book, I describe the whole thing, the triangle between that are three matching things that you need to match. Like, is it valuable? Are you solving something valuable? Is it critical or urgent on their agenda? So something that, they don't even believe that it's valuable, but actually important to them. And then the third thing is, how can you exceed expectation? The exceed expectation is about doing it in a way that they haven't seen before, which in many cases is counterintuitive, because otherwise it would have been done so far.
Exactly.
So I like that. Very good. Kind of on your way, can you kind of highlight an obstacle that you had to overcome that made you think twice, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, I have obstacles every day.
Big one.
I think one of the largest obstacles is on making the design decisions. Yeah. Because we have a couple of users who really wanted the product to go in direction A, and other users, they like it to be in direction B, and both of them are not compatible. That's a daily life, I think, of any product manager. How do you create something that would work for people when they want different things? And I think at some point, then we just have to prioritize and make a decision that our product will be for these first users. It might not yet please the second part, but it's better to make a first segment of users extremely happy and delighted,
yeah,
than everybody lukewarm. Because what's killing startup is when people are indifferent, not when they just
very good point.
Like a decision.
Yeah. That's a common theme, like who you're for, who you're not for. And sometimes people think, well, the point is like, we are for millennials. And that might be true, but there's a special group that you're focusing on. And then if you focus on that, then you can really kind of hit the nail and move the needle. Like you say, I mean, I like your point about doing something that's remarkable or something that stands out rather than something that is good, but for everybody is just a lukewarm reaction. Good point.
Maybe
the time is not just there yet, but focus on the highlights.
Yes, and it's very tough as an entrepreneur to
Absolutely.
Say, no, we won't please this segment of users, even if they represent millions of people.
Yeah.
But I think it's a necessity in the early days.
No, I don't think it's even in the early days. I think it comes down to how do you stay remarkable, that you always kind of achieve or actually overachieve the expectation. It's a moving target. The moment something is normal, it's normal. You know, then people are expecting this. So 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I mean, the iPad was the invention. If you say, okay, I've reinvented the iPad again, then everybody will say, okay, well, think good that you're there, but you're quite late. So targets are moving, and what is possible today is possible today, and things are shifting. You have to find ways to continuously impress, surprise your customers by doing things in a different way, but with solid value connected to that. So it's always about making those choices and really, really understanding who your ideal customer is and why. I like that. So any regrets so far? Things that you say, wait a minute, we went in sort of in a dead end alley and we should have stopped earlier on in order to make more
momentum. Yes, actually a couple. We had to kill a couple of ideas. It's not that the ideas were bad. It's more that they were not realistically feasible in the time frame and with the resources that we had. And if I had to go back in time, I think I would just have focused even more the product, do less, even leaving some essential features that users were really like genuinely waiting for it, just to focus on making the first feature really good.
Yeah. The minimum viable product is often not about the product that just does the basic things. It's the product that gets people talking about you.
Exactly. And it's a process. You never know in advance which feature people will use, how it will
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's about exploring. So what are you most proud of so far? I mean, what is an anecdote that you keep talking about?
I received a message on LinkedIn. So we made our first pre-sales of 1 year of premium plan. And it was somebody who wanted to gift 1 year of cash coach to a very dear friend of her. And we prepared a gift flyer because it was our first client and we wanted to make something very special for our first client. And in the message for the gift flyer, she said, "Cash Coach will be the voice of reason to help you when I will not be there." And it reminded me of the words of my father that he told me when I was first a student at 18 years old and had to cope with the financial independence, living with only 300 euros per month. So I'm very proud that 13 years later, I'm creating the technology that can also be the voice of reason for millions of people.
Wow. That's impressive. I mean, if the connection to the product is so strong that people actually give it as a gift to someone else to make a difference. That's fantastic. That's your dream if regards to word of mouth. Congratulations on that one. So hopefully that will start to give you momentum. So, yeah, I mean, based on all the lessons that you've learned and the tidbits of wisdom that you've gained over the past period, what advice would you give to, well, people that aspire to be CEO, that aspire to be a tech entrepreneur and make a big difference in the marketplace?
Get mentally ready. It's tough. Everything that you read on TechCrunch, on the news, on LinkedIn, all make it sound glamorous and it's easy. Yeah. And they have raised millions and grow the team and they create the product they want. They don't show you the 99% of the other time, which is just a roller coaster. And your first product that sucks because it's your first product and people who don't like it and they don't care that you just did it in 3 months. And the early stage of fundraising, it's extremely brutal. So get ready. And if you really feel like it's the only thing you can do in the world and you don't want to get a job, you don't want to be employee anymore, then jump, do it.
Yeah. So what keeps you sane during that period? Because I realize you're completely right. It is not glamorous. So what do you keep holding on to in order to keep going?
I see the world that is more and more using technology to push people to overspend. Google, Facebook, the whole ad tech industry, they can hire all the smartest people, the most expensive data scientists to develop algorithms that will use all their data to make them spend and kind of abuse their mental power to resist the temptation. And there's nobody in this world which is developing any tech or product or experience to help people actually resist that. So I wanted to rebalance the forces.
Yeah, that's a big hairy goal, they say. And it's something that will always likely be a stretch goal, so it will keep you going forever. Because it's that continuous battle. That's a very good one to hold on to. It's,
thank you.
It's creating a category in its own right. So what is next for you? What is your big aspiration? Where do you want to be in 12 months' time from now?
12 months. We want to create leagues where people are not only improving their own behaviors, but they're inviting their friends to improve their own behaviors. And instead of overspending because they think the only way to have fun is to spend more money than what they have going out, that they really change their behavior into a more sustainable lifestyle. And actually, I would like them to realize that they can enjoy life equally, if not more, by living by their means.
Yeah, I believe that as well. And it's often not that, maybe it's not even that they want to spend and overspend. It's just that they don't realize what's coming down the road. So at that moment, they have enough. But next week, it's going to kill them. Yeah. So it's just that insight. So yeah, it's that little devil and an angel on your shoulder, almost.
That's the way to see it.
Exactly. Yeah, true. So this is, a big part of my audience is tech entrepreneurs, people in the business software space or in tech space as a whole. If you could ask something, how can they help you? What's your big ask?
To the whole tech community.
The people that listen to my podcast.
I would like them to really try Cash Coach and tell me what's their feedback if they find it, the saving challenge and the whole AI behind it, really groundbreaking in their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't say it clearer. So let's see what feedback comes from there. So is any plan, for example, to go mainland Europe, for example, to Spain?
So far, we focused on the UK because that's where we have the base data quality. As soon as we can see that we have the same level of data quality in the other European countries, we will go there. We already started to launch in France in beta.
Yeah.
It's not as good because in UK, the lobby is strong enough so that banks have to share all their accounts through open banking, the current account, the saving account, the credit card. So far in France, most banks only share the current account.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately. There's Spain also in beta. Oh, by the way, if you have people from Spain, if you have a strong Spanish audience, we're looking for beta tester in Spain to check how is the data quality for Spanish banks.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out. I don't have a lot of, I'm not sure whether I've got a lot of following in Spain, but I happen to live in Spain. So I know a couple of people. So I'll ask around for you. Good. Well, where can people go to find out more about Cash Coach? And where can they connect best with you to say hi, to start a conversation with you?
They can connect with me on Twitter, on LinkedIn. They can check our website. There's a cool section with our entire team. We post regular updates on Twitter of what's going on. And if they want to ask me anything, our email is hello@cashcoach.co. And I reply to all our emails.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Sam. This was an interesting and inspiring interview. I like your approach. The person that I spoke to earlier on was completely right about you. And yeah, I mean, I think it inspired other people as well. Make you think well, twice about
certain things. Thank you very much, Tom.
Good.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure on my side as well. And this ends my interview with Sam. I hope you enjoyed it and got value from it. And if so, please leave your rating or review on iTunes and share it with other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that you have in your network. Other than that, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Sam Abrika, co-founder and CEO of Cash Coach. As said, the goal that I have in this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. Before I close, I have two more comments to make. If you know other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that have a story worth sharing, please send me an email at ton.dobby@valueinspiration.com. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. And if you want to know more about my book, or you're interested in joining the Remarkable Effect tribe, please visit my website at www.valueinspiration.com. Thanks for tuning in. And you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast on iTunes or provide me with your feedback directly. I'll see you shortly on a new episode.